Now, Haiti has withdrawn the British wing of Oxfam's right to operate in the country. This follows allegations of sexual misconduct. Now, whistleblowers accused Oxfam staff of engaging sex workers, some underage, while on a relief mission. You'll remember the devastating earthquake that hit the island nation in 2010. A lot to talk about there. Shaista Aziz is a former Oxfam aid worker, co-founder of NGO Safe Space, and she joins us from Oxford in the UK via Skype. Shaista, welcome.
Hi there.
This is a pretty dramatic decision on the part of Haiti.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think for anybody who's been following the situation, not just with Oxfam, but with a number of international NGOs in relation to the accusations and allegations of sexual abuse and misconduct, I think in many ways perhaps it's a logical step for Haiti to have made this announcement today. I think that what has gone on, and we don't really have all the information in terms of what's gone on because information is still emerging. Yep. But I think the revelations, if you want to call them that, are very devastating and shocking. And I believe that Haiti probably felt as a country under pressure to send a very clear signal that these behaviours will not be tolerated. And I think that's what this is really about.
We expect aid workers to be angels, I guess. This appears not to be the case.
Well, I think it's probably not a wise idea for anyone to think any human being is an angel, including aid workers. We're all fallible. We're all human beings. We all have faults, every single one of us. But I do believe that there is definitely an image that the Western aid worker is an angel of mercy, is a do-gooder. The only thing that individual can do is good, which obviously is dangerous. If you set people up in that way, then it is very dangerous. And equally, it's dangerous because it allows them then to use that as a shield to hide behaviours that perhaps they would not indulge in when they were back in their own country. But it's not just aid workers. Over the years, we've heard revelations about television presenters, children's presenters, football stars, Bill Cosby, for example, known internationally around the world. I think, we have to stop building people up to believe that just because someone is famous or does good work, that there's not another side to those individuals. And I think that is all part of the construct of how we as people try sometimes to kind of like, suggest that just because someone's doing some good work, it means we should ignore the damaging and potentially criminal activity that individuals are involved in as well.
Sure. Here we have, though, people working in places where there is great devastation. The normal social order is completely upended. Is that a factor in this, or is that a thing that people prey upon?
Yeah, I'm really hesitant to say that I'm not suggesting you're saying this, but it's not an excuse. So, this whole sort of notion that that civilized people go into the uncivilized parts of the world that are torn up or damaged, or there's a war going on, and then they're stressed, and then they have to have outlets to relieve the stress. It's just not acceptable. I think at the heart of the issues that have come up, and it's not just Oxfam, as I've said, is the patriarchy, is patriarchal structures inside societies, inside aid organisations, and indeed all types of organisations, and how they can be manipulated and used to further cause harm to vulnerable individuals. So I wrote a piece for The Guardian last week which focused particularly on women of colour who are extremely vulnerable in these settings. And these are the women whose voices and names and stories we don't know because they don't have the same level of agency because it's been removed from them. So when it comes to, people who survived earthquakes and survived sexual violence and all, so-called natural disasters, if you put people who, can get away with certain types of abuses and behaviours, if you put them in an environment, then they probably will indulge in behaviours unless there's somebody to keep them in check. And just to be clear, I'm not suggesting that all Western aid workers are this way.
Sure.
Absolutely not. But again, just even the fact that I have to qualify that statement tells you how problematic it is that we can't actually really talk about these issues. It's about power. At the heart of all of this is power. And there is a massive power imbalance. If you are getting on a plane and you're flying to a country to allegedly help people, then already that means that you have far more power than the people who are there. Mm. What's happening right now is a number of organizations have an international spotlight on them. So they feel under pressure, rightly so. But what happens when the spotlight disappears? You talked about NGO Safe Space. We set up this platform because we know, the former and current women aid workers, we know that there is lots of silencing of women going on inside these organizations, and women feel vulnerable. They don't feel like they can speak out. When women whistleblowers did start talking about what was going on, many of us were accused of weaponizing the aid agenda. There was lots of discussion, especially in the UK, about how the government wanted to reduce the amount of aid being given to foreign countries, and you know, the so-called right-wing news agenda to sort of dismantle aid. I mean, this is ridiculous. But nonetheless, this is the kind of pressure that women were put under when they wanted to speak up. So the fact that we set up NGO Safe Space tells you everything. It tells you that these aid organizations are still intent on the fact that they believe they can investigate these allegations inside these organizations off their own accord. Mm. This is simply not acceptable. We need an independent mechanism funded by these organizations that will allow people to speak openly about what they say they've experienced and what they've seen, and then for these allegations to be investigated. So we had 80 plus women, mostly women, there were a few men, contacting us with their anonymous testimonies in the space of 2.5 weeks. I find this extraordinary, and it's just very much the tip of the iceberg. And I know that the women involved in NGO Safe Space, individually, we received many emails from many people. We cannot verify their claims because of the nature of, you know, what they're telling us. But the point is that they want to be believed, they want to be listened, and they want someone to take what they're saying seriously. So there's a deficit there in terms of listening and believing women when they say that X, Y, and Z has happened to them. And there are structural problems and they need to be dealt with.
There's a potentially compounding tragedy in this as well, of course, that if public faith in the aid sector is diminished, then that public funding could potentially start to dwindle, which again would on the ground have an appalling effect.
Well, again, what I say to that is that we need to, I believe very strongly that the aid sector does a lot of good work. However, it, like all sectors, it needs to re-examine its role in the world. It needs to look at how it operates. It needs to look at the type of people that it sends out to situations which are very difficult situations. Mm. And aid is not neutral. It never has been. Aid has colonial legacy attached to it. It's never neutral. If you look at the past 15 years of the so-called war on terror, liberating women of Afghanistan and gender rights and all these types of things have been conflated in terms of foreign policy and launching wars and everything else. So aid has never been neutral, and it's very wrong for us to think that it has been. In terms of public trust, absolutely, the public has every right to ask for transparency and to question what's going on. For them to do that, it doesn't mean that they're against sending aid, and it doesn't mean that they're against aid agencies. And this is also part of the problem. Whenever people start asking questions, there's a large swathe of people who come up and say, well, you know, if you ask these questions, it'll be damaging, and it means money won't be received from the public to go to X or Y place. These issues need to be separated. It is only correct and right that aid agencies are transparent and held to account like every other organization. Mm-hmm. It needs to be able to answer to its donors and to answer to the people who support it.
Shaista, thank you so much for your time and those explanations.
Thank you.
Shaista Aziz, she's a former Oxfam aid worker, co-founder of NGO Safe Space, joining us via Skype here on RN Drive.